We need a real investigation. I don't think we have one yet.
Yes, it's true. And yes, it is a crime.
Hello, I'm Cleta Mitchell. Welcome to our podcast, Who's Counting with Cleta Mitchell. This is a podcast about all things elections, how elections are supposed to be run, how sometimes elections aren't run the way they're supposed to be, and what we as citizens can do about it. So today, we're going to start a series of shorter podcast interviews with key leaders across the country to talk to us about what happened with election integrity in 2022 in this election, and what citizens learned, and what are our plans going forward, and should people who've been involved in election integrity and concerned and interested in it, what should people be thinking about it? So our first guest in this series is the person who started it all, and that would be Lynn Taylor, who is the president of the Virginia Institute for Public Policy, and she also chairs the Virginia Fair Elections Coalition. So, Lynn, you've been with us before, and you've been with us every step of this journey as we've been building the Election Integrity Network across the country. Talk to us about an overview. I know people are a lot of people who care about election integrity thought that, if we built this movement, well, we'd win everything. And that didn't quite happen. So tell us about what people should be thinking about as we are now a few days away past the November 8th general election.
Absolutely. I think that what is important with what we have been doing over the last, year and a half, is that what we're trying to do is to bring transparency. We're not trying to get any one particular candidate elected. We're not trying to get one particular party in power. What we're trying to do is to make sure that the elections are free, fair, and that there's transparency in these elections. I know that after 2020, it seemed like over half of the folks in Virginia did not believe that their elections were free and fair. And that didn't make any difference whether they were Democrats or Republicans, independents. It didn't make any difference. They felt that this was not transparent, that there was something that didn't quite smell right. So what we were trying to do is simply to come out and say, okay, we need to get our elections back to where they are transparent, back to where people actually believe that what is happening in the elections is right. So what we did was we put together a plan of citizen involvement. And that is specifically what it is. It is citizen involvement to look at what is going on in our elections, to make sure that whatever the laws are, whether we agree with those laws or disagree with those laws, is not relevant. It may be that you want to change them later, but we must have processes that go along with what the law is right now. So this is how we started in 2021. And we thought that one of the best things that we could do at the time would be to train poll watchers and election officials in as to, okay, if you are at the polling place or if you are somewhere where people can vote in the early, in an early opportunity for in-person absentee ballots, what are you looking for? What is it that it's supposed to look like? And what do you do if it doesn't look that way? Can you talk to someone about this? Can something be changed? How do you find out what these processes are supposed to be and what they really are? And if what they are is not the same as what they're supposed to be, how do you get that changed? So that's how we started out with this in Virginia. And it made a huge difference, I think, in the 2021 election. No longer were we hearing things like, well, somebody already voted my ballot. Mm-hmm. Or the tabulators that they were taking, the drives out of the tabulators, and nobody was paying any attention to where that drive went before it got to where it was supposed to be. Those types of things we just didn't hear in 2021. So now here we are in 2022, and what a difference it has made between 2021 and 2022. In 2021, we actually had some registrars and some folks who were at the election offices who were not excited about citizen involvement. They did not understand it. They thought people were trying to look over their shoulders and changing what was happening.
We are trying to look over their shoulders. And we only want to change it if they're not doing it right.
And that's exactly what we did. We did this through our use of what we call local task forces, people who are particularly interested in their county or independent city. And we're there in the election offices, not specifically during the election, but before the election to find out what the process is. What are they supposed to be? And is there any way that we could help with any of this? And they really very resistant at first. But what we're finding in 2022 is that they're not resistant. The ones that we had been in their offices in 2021 suddenly understood that, yes, we are there to help. We are there to help understand what the law is, what the processes should be. And it's a lot friendlier this time around than it was last time. So, yeah, we're making headway.
So what would you say, and I know we're doing a survey and hopefully we'll have some results to publish in the next couple of weeks, maybe. People are still, I think the volunteers in Virginia are still involved in the post-election canvass.
They are today. It goes through today. Yes.
Tell people what that is. What is that? What is
that is where you have the provisional ballots, people who had to vote by provisional ballot. And those are brought together and to determine what is this a good ballot? Should this be put through the tabulator? Did this person vote already? There's all kinds of things that they need to look at. And here's the challenge. There was a law that was passed, I believe, in 2020 that was brought in same-day registration, where people could go in and they could register on election day or any one of the 45-day early voting days and then immediately turn around and vote.
Oh.
And that vote was a provisional ballot. And so what has happened is, and that actually was passed in 2020, but it did not go into effect until October 18th of this year.
Hmm.
So what we have found out is so far, and we don't even have a list yet because they're still working on the canvass today. So far, we have 38,000 provisional ballots. Now, in 2021, we had 10,000. So we are four times the number that we had in 2021. Now, and they had 24,000 in 2020, but that was a presidential election. So we are way beyond what they even had in a presidential election. And that has really kind of caused some chaos because I don't think that the system was ready for something like this. And so they're having some challenges, and we are not going to even know what all the challenges are until they get finished today and
so
bring all
those. Do you know where those are concentrated? Are they college students?
They are. Most came out of Williamsburg, Virginia, which is home to William and Mary at 8.6%. The second one up was Charlottesville, which is home to the University of Virginia. Mm-hmm. The third one was Harrisonburg, which is home to JMU. And the fourth largest one was in Lynchburg, home of Liberty. So if you added all of those up, 21.7% just in those four locations, it was 21.7%.
As a provisional ballot. So yes. What do they do with those provisional ballots? How do they decide whether or not that person was actually a real person eligible to vote in Virginia?
Well, that's actually an interesting question because sometimes it depends on who's looking at it. And that is also one of those issues where it would be nice if that was all completely and totally standardized because it's not. Mm-hmm. What they're doing is we do not have signature verification here in Virginia. So they're not looking at signatures. And that's a good thing because signature verification is really
terrible. Verification. It's an oxymoron.
It doesn't work.
Verification is an oxymoron. It's like friendly divorce.
Yeah, that's a good point. I never thought about it. That's a very good point. So yes, they have to look at these provisional ballots, and they first of all have to find out, okay, this person registered 20 minutes before they voted. First of all, is their registration valid?
That's what I'm wondering.
How is it that they can't vote? So this is difficult. In the old system, before they brought in same-day registration, there was at least enough time for the registrar to look through and find out if this person is actually allowed to vote. Is it a legal registration? Mm-hmm. Or is this person a citizen of the United States? Is this person registered in another state? Is this a dead person? Is that
thing? This person,
so when you're doing it, 20 minutes between one and the other, you're in one line and then you're in the other line.
Yeah.
And when you're running a lot of this, a significant portion, as you just saw, came through the college campuses. Mm-hmm. And this is a challenge. And do we know when these people are going to be finished with this canvas? No. It may be late into the night before they figure out that they have all of the information.
Are there citizen volunteers watching all of these?
Yes, there are.
That's a big change, Lynn. That's a huge change. It's hugely important.
It is. But we have citizen volunteers who not only are watching, but citizen volunteers who are involved in the process. And that is extremely important. And I think it helps people understand that, yes, this is chaotic. Yes, it's a little bit of a mess. But because citizen volunteers are watching doesn't mean that all the problems go away. They don't. What happens is that we now understand what some of the problems are, and then we can begin solving them. Do they get solved overnight? No, not necessarily. Sometimes it has to be legislation. Sometimes not. Sometimes it's simply that somebody didn't understand what the rules were and we're not following them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So that's a good example of how the citizen volunteers are engaged. What would you say to people who say, well, because the election didn't turn out the way we wanted some more conservatives, we wanted some more MAGA candidates to win, we wanted Republicans to win, which a lot of election integrity people tend to be on the conservative side, even though I think election integrity itself is not a partisan issue. Right. It's just that the activists tend to come from the conservative side. But what do we say to people about, and what do you say to people about if people say, well, you guys weren't able to keep bad things from happening? What do we say to people about that?
Well, actually, I think we have been able to keep bad things from happening in a lot of cases. I think that before 2021, I think that all kinds of bad things were happening. We just didn't know about it.
Right.
And suddenly, you went to bed thinking one thing and you got up the next morning and things were totally different because, the tabulator drives were suddenly found and votes were found. And how do you find all this stuff? That just doesn't
make sense. Right, in the middle of the night.
Exactly. And so I think what happens is, regardless of whether it's, you're a Democrat or Republican, or you like that candidate or you didn't like that candidate, I think that there is a huge difference in what folks have been able to see, that we are watching, that we are paying attention, that we are solving some of the challenges in real time when things are not being done correctly. Now, Virginia doesn't the greatest election integrity laws. They just don't. We have 45 days of voting, for crying out loud. It's ridiculous.
No, it is terrible.
We have. But the point is that we simply want everyone to pay attention to the law, to do it according to the law. And whatever the law is, that's the way that we have to do it. You can't make up these rules just because it suits you as a registrar. You can't do things that are inappropriate or incorrect just because your predecessor did it.
Right.
Or somebody wasn't watching and they were making up the rules as they go along. And then sometimes there's a registrar or two that have been nefarious. But most of the time it's just because they didn't know. And when we point it out to them, they change it.
So one of the things that was interesting to me was that in the early part of 2022, after the House, the General Assembly, the House of Delegates in Virginia went from Democrat to Republican control. And now the state Senate is not up until next year, 2023. But notwithstanding that, what was interesting to me were all of the citizen volunteers, so many of them from 2021, who were involved in election integrity task forces and have been poll watchers and observers and actually election officials. They became a massive grassroots lobbying force to change some laws. And you got a number of laws through the House, but they all died in the Senate, right?
Well, but here's the thing, is because they had been poll watching, because they had actually seen the process and seen the problems in the process, they were the perfect folks to go and talk to their legislators and other, even if it wasn't their legislator, other legislators, about what the real problem is here. What is the real process mm-hmm. for what's going on? And why is it that they need legislation in order to change what's happening? Sometimes it is a total change. Sometimes it's just a clarification mm-hmm. of another law that has come into effect that is too vague, that kind of thing. But yes, they were all over the legislators in helping them understand, explaining what this means in a pragmatic way on election integrity. And they were absolutely phenomenal. And you're right. There were a number of bills that were cast in the House that died in the Senate.
So I suppose that you would be telling people to just keep on keeping on and keep building this movement, right?
Absolutely. And to tell you the truth, we were delighted and maybe a little bit surprised, but delighted that folks were, they stayed on. They were so interested in election integrity. They understood you do what you can do in the amount of time, but they understood in Virginia particularly, we have an election every year.
Big elections every year. Not just little elections, but big elections.
Oh, that's right. Every year. So the next election is coming. And these changes, if you are wanting to create a system that an infrastructure that is permanent, you have to be in there working it all the time. And that's exactly what they've done. And not only did they stay, but more people have joined. And they're still working it. We haven't even finished up with the 2022 election. And they're still working it and talking about the 2023 election when the Senate is up.
Well, that's actually an encouraging sign. And it's good news for our movement, our efforts. I don't want people to be discouraged. But we also, one of the things that I say is that we had so many people watching, and their job was not to change anything, but to observe and to watch and to listen and to document and to report. And I'm hoping that we will be able to get enough feedback from volunteers from all over the country that we can actually put out a report saying, here are the things that we saw. Here are the things we had to report, both good and bad. Some things good, some things bad. But this is not something that we've ever done on our side. The left has been so engaged with the election process, and we haven't been. And we're not going to rebuild everything in 1 year, but we have a lot of work to do.
How much has been rebuilt, and how much transparency there is, and how folks believe differently about the elections now. Do they believe that everything is hunky-dory? No. Do they believe that, yes, having citizen involvement is a right, it's a duty. We need to be there just making sure that this is happening in the way that it's supposed to happen, regardless of who's running and regardless of who wins.
Well, that's a really good point. And I was reminded just before the election that federal law makes it a crime to interfere with, intimidate, threaten, or otherwise harass a poll watcher. I didn't realize that we had that special status. And I think that it's important for us to tell people that it is a recognized position in the law. And the left and the media, I'm repeating myself there. They were so hostile to the idea of all these citizens engaged in this process. But we had to be doing something right for it to spook the bad guys as badly as it did.
We did add the Virginia Fair Elections Coalition did send out that this information that had come to our attention that there were laws that protected our citizens in this manner. And I think that was very important for them to understand that their government is protecting their rights to be there.
I think that's really important. But so, Lynn, what's your word of wisdom? What's your main word of wisdom to anybody who cares about election integrity and they see the results of the red wave that wasn't? What do you say to those people?
I say that the folks who have already been working in this are real heroes. They're real patriots and they're still working in it and there is plenty to do. Please come and join us. I think that this is one of the most important things that you can do with your life right now.
Well, we're certainly going to keep giving them that opportunity, Lynn. Yes. And thank you for all of your leadership and everything that you've done. You've been right with us every step of the way at all of our summits and everything we're doing. So we couldn't do anything that we do at the Election Integrity Network, but for you, your team at the Virginia Institute, you guys are just, you're true American heroes and heroines. And I really want everybody to know how much we value you.
Well, we appreciate it, but it is a huge undertaking that an awful lot of people and an awful lot of organizations who understand that if we don't get this right, we won't get anything else through.
Well, that's true. That's so important. Well, Lynn, thank you for joining
us.
And that concludes our episode today. We hope you've enjoyed it. We hope you'll share this episode and subscribe and send it around. You know, big tech likes to silence us and they like to block our videos from YouTube and elsewhere. And so we need your help in spreading the word and help us join this election integrity movement. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode of Who's Counting with Cleta Mitchell. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to Who's Counting. The Who's Counting podcast is produced by the Conservative Partnership Institute's Election Integrity Network. It is filmed and recorded at CPI Studios in Washington, D.C. Help us grow this show by sharing this episode with a friend and be sure to subscribe and to give us a good review. We need your word of mouth because big tech can't be trusted and tries to cancel us daily. Help fight back by visiting whoscounting.us and sign up for this podcast, for our newsletter, become part of the Election Integrity Network.